Morning. Good morning. Welcome to West Valley on this very, very wet Sunday.
Scripture reading from John 1, 1 through 15. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Jesus is known as the Word of God. That is because Jesus is the expression of who God is. What words do you use to express yourself when you are happy, sad, excited, or lonely?
If you think about it, human beings are the only ones on this planet who use words to express themselves. If we didn't have words, we couldn't communicate what we are feeling, what we are doing, our hopes, and our dreams.
For a long time, people did not understand who God was. He seemed far away, and many people were afraid of God. When Jesus came and expressed to the people who God was, they realized that God loved them, the world, and that Jesus came so that we could have a personal relationship with God. In Jesus, God expressed to the world that He loved each person individually, as if they were the only one. God expressed that He would do anything to have a relationship with us, even go to the cross and die.
Dear Jesus, thank you for expressing who God is to me and showing me the immense love you have for each person. Help me this Advent season to have faith and to grow in my personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great and enjoy. Appreciate it. If at this time the children would come forward for the children's message, and as they do that, if you would stand and greet one another and welcome one another in the name of our Lord.
Hi, boys and girls. Hey, anyone else coming up? Hey, you know, I thank you all for coming here. I have a question for you. If God wanted to give us a message and could only tell it to us in one word, what would that one word be that God wanted to tell us this morning? Any ideas?
I'm guessing Jesus.
Jesus is a great answer. Any other guesses?
It's not just about presents and Santa Claus for Christmas. It's about Jesus, too, because it's His birthday.
That was awesome. Should we just take an offering and go home?
And Jesus is always with you, even on Christmas Day.
Wow, that is great. I've learned so much here already. So I had three ideas. One is, the first idea I had of what God would tell us, if you only had one word to tell us, was the word, ta-da! Now, you might not think that's a word, but it communicates very well. If you had, for example, fixed a toy that your brother or sister had broken, and you could fix it and give it to them and say, ta-da, look what I fixed. Or if your parents were looking for their glasses or a jacket, you could find it for them and say, ta-da, look what I found. Or if you were creating something, you could create that and show your classmates and say, ta-da, look what I made. And I think God says that to us a lot. Sometimes when we say, God, I really messed up, God could say, ta-da, look, I've made all things new. And He created the world and created the rain and created sunshine and says, ta-da, look at all the things I made for you. Now, the other second idea I had was the word, rawr. Can you say that? And you know, so sometimes, you know, I guess our parents might say this to us, where, you know, we're not trying our hardest, we're not doing our homework, we're not going to bed on time when we're supposed to. And I don't know what words they're exactly saying to you, but it all boils down to rawr. And I think God says that to us sometimes when we don't do things we're not supposed to, or we don't do things that we should be doing and we know we should be doing, that God might sometimes say to us, "Row." And the third idea I had is one that you all had, and that's the word Jesus. Because it says in the Bible that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory of one only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Gee, thanks, Dan. What did that mean? Well, try this on for size. Jesus became human and lived here on earth with us. And we got from him a message that could only come from God himself, full of ta-da and rah. And this Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, who delivered a message from God to us. Will you pray with us? Dear God, this Christmas time, we just pray that, as was mentioned up here, that more than we celebrate presents or vacations or parties, that we could celebrate the coming of your Son, Jesus, and the work that he did here on earth. In your Son's name, amen. Thank you for coming. Have fun in Sunday school. Bye.
Do you pray with me?
Dear Lord, we come to you this morning with praise on our lips and praise in our hearts. Thank you for all the children that were here this morning who know so much about you and who praise you just in their everyday living. They're so joy-filled. Make us more like them, O Lord. We praise you for being our Lord and Savior, and for this day you've given us to live. We are so grateful. We praise you for the rain. It reminds us of the many blessings that you pour down upon us, for the seasons, for the many ways in creation that we see your intricate and vast design. We also praise you for the small ways you remind us of your presence throughout the day. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for the many ways we have discovered to shut out your presence. Oh, Lord, we ask that as we begin this Advent season, you would help us to stop and notice you more, not less. As a God who is relevant, personal, and who wants to be more present in our lives, give us the capacity, oh, Lord, in our hearts to receive you in this way. Because we know, Lord, at Christmas we can rush by manger scenes, church events, people who need us. We can rush by it all and go on to the next thing. Pray, Lord, for calm spirits and open eyes so that we can see you more clearly and reflect on that great descent that you accomplished for us in Jesus, that great descent that made us whole. We are grateful. Today, Lord, we lift up those in our midst who are struggling with health concerns. We pray for Mary Jean Bartoli, who is arriving home tomorrow after a long bout in the hospital. Bless her, Lord. We lift up Pat Cooper. We lift up the Johns family. Lord, bless them all as they are together this Christmas and bring healing and grace. We pray for people who are struggling with depression during this time when everyone is supposed to be festive and happy. We pray for joy. We pray for those who are alone and for those in our midst struggling financially and with difficult relationships. Rescue them and deliver them from evil. And Lord, we think of our world today and all that is going on in the Middle East. We ask for wisdom for leaders and safety for all people. We pray for our denomination. We pray for the missions going on all over the globe in your name. For encouragement to all who reach out and give a cup of cold water, a visit, a Bible, and lend a hand. Lord, we know that you hold the beginning and end of all things and that one day there will be no more crying or tears anymore. But until that day, we ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be your hands and feet in a broken world that needs your love. Confident that you are faithful and generous and that your plan is bigger than anything we can see right now. And aware of your promise that your steadfast love is from generation to generation. We pray the prayer you taught us saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man.
Well, there's certain words that can get our attention. If somebody said to you, the Christmas tree is falling over, what would you do? You'd run and you'd try to prop it up, or maybe in this case, you know, it's a lost cause. Or if somebody said there's only one cookie left, if you're wise, you go and grab that last cookie. You're not polite. Or the in-laws decided to visit after all. You either start getting ready, your house ready, or you take a flight to a distant land. Words can be startling, interrupting proclamations. Words can change your behavior for the moment. And because words are very powerful, right? We use words. Human beings are the only ones that have them. They can do more than just change our behavior, though, for the moment. They can change our lives. Words can change our lives. Maybe you've been in the situation where someone has just said the right word at the right time, and it changed the course of events for you, or it made you think about things differently for the rest of your life. I remember when I was at a really low time in my life, somebody looked me in the eye, pointed their finger at me, and said, God will be faithful to you. And I knew intellectually that God would be faithful, okay? I knew that in my head. But it was the timing of those words when they were spoken to me and the intensity with which they were said that gave me hope again and started me off on a new path. There's a book that's called The Right Words at the Right Time, and the author states this. The right words can transform us. They can challenge us at a crossroads. They can help us through times of sorrow. They can dare us to action. They can be spoken with love or shouted in anger. The right words can be funny words, thought-provoking words, words that prop us up when we think we can go no further. The book goes on to talk about some figures, well-known figures, whose lives were changed because people spoke certain words to them. Tom Brokaw's life was changed when he had a professor tell him in no uncertain terms, Tom, get your act together. Changed Tom's life. Al Pacino came out of alcoholism because someone who cared about him simply asked him one time, without any judgment or condemnation, he was in the midst of drinking too much, they said, Al, how many times a day do you think you lift a drink to your lips? How many times a day? Laura Bush, when she was a child one night, she was lying on a blanket, looking up at the stars, and one of her parents next to her said, you know, Laura, science is important, even for a girl. Changed her life, made her pursue science. The right human words at the right time can change our lives. So, we've established that. Now, let's go one further with this. If human words can change people so much, what about God's word changing us, spoken at the right time and made manifest to us on our terms? We have this great Bible 101 class that I'm facilitating, and we're going through the Gospel of John. Now, when we open to the first page of the Gospel of John, there's no shepherds, there's no angels, there's no little baby in a manger at all. It's kind of a bummer. We're having the pageant next weekend, next Sunday. And, you know, if we only had the Gospel of John, we wouldn't have a pageant because there's no story there. It's kind of a bummer, really. We just get this very abstract sort of opening about in the beginning was the Word. What's going on? How do we understand this?
But I'm going to share something with you, and just please track with me, because I want you to understand what John is doing here, all right? He's making a parallel to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, where it starts off in just the same way, with just the same foreword as the beginning of John's gospel. So I'm going to these two passages together, and I'm going to hold a handheld mic. So, John 1:1-5. Okay, now you've heard this twice already in the service. We're going to say it together again. All right, so let's read this passage together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. All right, now that's the beginning of John's gospel. Now we're going to read Genesis. We're going to read the beginning, the first book of the Bible. We're going to read that. Let's read that together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Very good. Now, if you were thinking about these two passages, you may have noticed some parallels. Because, see, what John wants to do with his prologue, the beginning of his gospel, is blow us out of the water. He wants us to be amazed, astounded, transfixed. So are you? Are you? You don't look like it yet, so let me help you. He is taking the physical creation and saying Jesus came to create as well, but to create in us a new heart, to bring creation back to what it was supposed to be like before sin entered the world. That's why it's the same kind of writing. That's why it starts in the beginning. John is so excited about this. He is saying, imagine the creative force, which was God's word that created everything that we have. Imagine that. The expression of God's desire sent forth, creating new things. He says, imagine that power and expression of God's will and purpose becoming a human being. What would that look like? He says. What would we see, experience, take in? It makes me wonder now, what must Jesus have been like? God's word with flesh on. The creative power that called the universe into being, walking among us. And friends, when that creative word of God put on flesh and walked around among us down here, it was a new day. Just like the new day that emerged at the beginning of creation, okay? The light suddenly dawned in our hearts. The first thing God creates in Genesis is light. Jesus comes, the light dawns in our hearts, fulfilling what creation was meant to be all along before sin entered the world. Does that make sense? You following me? Okay. That's why John starts out paralleling creation with "in the beginning was the world." He wants us to know that in Jesus Christ, you and I can become reborn, transformed, changed, a new creation. The darkness that was on the face of the deep before God speaks in Genesis, he parallels to the darkness that is on the face of humanity because of sin. That Jesus, who is the light of the world, he comes to dispel that. So it's a new day in the Word become flesh, just as it was a new day in Genesis. So number one, God spoke the first time on that first day of creation, and light came into being. It was a new day. And then two, God spoke the second time in Jesus Christ, his word, now in the form of a person, and the light of his presence made it a new day. We became a new creation. All right? Now there's also another piece to this. John is very excited as he does this prologue because he was writing in a milieu of different cultures and beliefs. And one of the cultures that he knew well was the pagan Greek culture. The Greek term for word, the word word, that John uses when he writes, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us," is the word logos. Logos. Now, logos was a Greek word. The pagan Greeks knew this word very well, but for the Greeks, logos was associated with rational thought, you know, or reason. It really didn't have anything to do with the common person. Now, maybe sometimes for you, sermons or theological concepts seem sort of out there, abstract, not relevant to you in your everyday. Maybe it's something you think about for an hour on Sunday morning, but then when the tire hits the road and you're in real life, you know, you sort of leave that to others, theologians to think about. These abstract concepts you might think about God and theology and good and evil don't really hit home where I am, where I live, in my day, my issues and my concerns. Too abstract, too hard to understand. But that's why John is so excited in his letter. Now, John wrote Gospels, but he also wrote letters. And they're at the end of the New Testament, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So in one of the letters John writes, he writes it this way. He says, "That which was from the beginning, something we did not really know well then, but something we were searching for, which we now have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." So you can tell, very similar as the beginning of his gospel. Three of our five senses mentioned right there, seeing, touching, hearing the word. John is saying, God, this word is so relevant. God became like us so we could apprehend him and get to know him with our eyes and our ears and our touch because he came to us on our terms. And friends, that's the Christmas message. That's the Christmas message. At Christmas, God is saying, "Hello there, human race. Let me just clear the windshield of your preoccupation and doubt because I am relevant to you today wherever you are more than you know. So relevant. I am personal. I am real. Get to know me. Let me in because I want to take your life, every part of it, every piece of it, and I want to make it a new creation through and through. And by the way, would you please get rid of your old images of an aloof, upset, or angry, distant, uninterested, too busy to notice kind of God? If I see the sparrow fall, and I clothe the flowers, and I know how many hairs are on your head, and if I became flesh for you, why would you think of me as not being supremely interested and aware of every aspect of your life? Why would you think? So to sum up, God spoke in creation. God spoke in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, and God still speaks to us today. Let's share a story with you about Ernest Snyder, who was a member of the National Guard. And he was searching for a little three-year-old boy who was lost in Western Maryland in Cunningham State Park. The family had been picnicking, and this little three-year-old boy, whose name was Wessie, had wandered off. Night was beginning to close in, and Wessie was nowhere to be found. Even search parties with dogs had not turned up any scent of the child. Where was Wessie? Ernest went to talk to the parents who were in a car in the parking lot. "We will resume the search as soon as we can," he told them, "as soon as light dawns." The fear and panic in their faces grabbed at his heart. It grew close to freezing as night set in. In a burst of uncharacteristic emotion for someone in the National Guard, Ernest went into the woods and began to pray, choking back tears. "Oh God," he pleaded, "please help these people. Please end the suffering." Ernest didn't usually talk to God like this. He didn't normally think of God as relevant, personal, able to intervene and make a difference in human life. God had always seemed like an abstraction, far away. But this time he decided to let God in. It certainly couldn't hurt, could it? Early in the morning at the first light of dawn, Ernest started in on the search again.
to help these folks. He got into a Jeep with a deputy and some other search and rescue workers who were there, and began to make his way up a very craggy dirt road that took them into a more rugged part of the mountains. And they were wondering whether a three-year-old could even make it up that far, but they figured it was worth a try. The Jeep had a roaring engine, and so Ernest would occasionally have to turn it off so that everyone in the Jeep could call out the child's name. Wessie, Wessie, where are you? But there was no response as they went up this incline. And then Ernest writes, as we were descending, they had gotten to the top and they're going down now. As we were descending, with engine roaring and the radio going, I heard the sound I can still hear today. What Ernest heard was a voice. He said it was a deep voice off to his left somewhere. He writes, I can still hear that voice to this day. The voice said, here. I slammed on the brakes, he writes. The others turned to stare at me. Not a sound came from the woods around us. What's the matter? Trooper Mills asked. Nothing, I said, getting out of the Jeep. And yet there had been something. I knew it sounded ridiculous with the engine roaring and the radio blasting, but I said it anyway. I heard something. At that, Trooper Mills stood up and shouted Wessie's name. Immediately, I heard another voice, but this time it was a child's voice. The others still had heard nothing. When it came the second time, I determined the direction and plunged into the woods toward it. The two troopers right behind me. Over rocks and fallen logs, we scrambled, branches lashing at our faces. I reached him first, sitting behind a log, not at all surprised at seeing us. I scooped him up and hugged him tightly. Where's Mommy and Daddy? He asked me. I couldn't find them. I bet they all went home. We assured him that they had not. And then we looked around for the direction we'd come in. We were 250 to 300 yards from the Jeep. I remember that we yelled for Wilcox back in the Jeep several times before he heard us, and when he shouted back, we could barely hear him. As he caught sight of us, Wilcox radioed back that we were bringing Wessie in safe and sound. Trooper Mills looked at me. You could not possibly have heard that boy, he said. I know, I said. I know. It was God's word that stopped me. God's word still speaks to us today. As we approach this table this morning, God says to you and to me in the midst of the Christmas rush, stop here. Stop here at this table. Here, right here. This is what you are looking for. This table represents my humanity. My word become flesh and blood in Jesus Christ. My desire to be in relationship with you and become as you are and meet you in whatever situation you are in. I am not distant. I am not an abstraction. I am the word become flesh sacrificed on the cross so you can be a new creation. Stop here and find the child in the manger that you're looking for. Find the word become flesh. Let us pray together. Blessed Lord Jesus, we don't understand why you would become flesh for us. We don't understand your great love for us. But what we do know is that you are a personal God longing for a personal relationship with us. Oh Lord, whether we're new to the faith or we've been Christians a long time, we just pray that as we receive this bread and this juice, you would set it apart from a common to a sacred use as we take you in. Lord Jesus, if there's places in our lives that we need to surrender, if there's places in our lives where we haven't let you in because we thought you didn't care or we thought perhaps it was too small of an issue, or perhaps we have felt overlooked by you. Lord, allow us in this time to become honest and give it all to you and trust that you do see a sparrow fall,
that you see a child lost in the woods, that you came so that we could find you on our terms, so that you could make us like you. Bless us, Lord, as we partake in this supper together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." Ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. We're receiving communion this morning by intinction, which simply means that you come forward, take a piece of the bread, and dip it into the cup, and then proceed back to your seat. If any of you cannot come forward, please don't worry at all. Once people have come forward at the beginning of this time, just lift your hand in the air and others will come to you with the bread and the cup. All of you who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to participate. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. He is relevant to you today. Let him in. Let us participate together. Thank you for worshiping with us today and for responding to the call of God to be in fellowship with him as we have fellowshiped around the table of the Lord this morning. If any of you have concerns, please come forward. Folks here would love to pray with you confidentially for anything that's going on in your life. We are a church of prayer. We believe in prayer. God answers our prayers. Would you please rise for the benediction? And as you do that, remember there's wreath making and fellowship hall right across right now. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God who longs to be in relationship with his creation and who calls you into relationship with him now, today, at this moment, be with you and abide with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.